You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards. Thank you, Paul Revere and the Raiders. And that goes out to, number one, our legendary producer, Art Frith, who was the biggest fan of Paul Revere, the singer, not the Revolutionary War hero. Big fan of Paul Revere. Paul Revere of Paul Revere and the Raiders, that was one of their top 10 hits back in the 60s. Paul Revere passed away last weekend while Richard Spencer was languishing in a Budapest jail cell. Paul Revere passed away. God bless him. Rock in peace, Paul Revere. You know, Art Frith played such an incredible role on the development of the political cesspool over the course of the last 10 years. Art was our producer for two or three of those years. And he let me know that Paul Revere had passed away, so I told him that we would do a tribute to Paul Revere tonight in the third hour. So we're going to be playing a few of Paul Revere's songs this hour. I actually have here at the radio studio this evening, on my desk here where I broadcast, a picture, an autographed picture signed to me, personalized to me, from Paul Revere himself that Art Frith procured for me. And we're very happy about that. And again, rock and peace, Paul. Paul Revere, you know, Art Frith and I had a friendly competition. Who could get more celebrity 60s pop singers to interview with them? Now, Art Frith, in addition to his work on radio, was also a newspaper journalist. And we had a pretty spirited competition. I'm pretty sure I prevailed in that. We had no shortage of 60s pop icons on the political cesspool during the 2 years that Art was producing for us. But Paul Revere, God bless him, and God bless that music. And we'll continue to experience that this, our third and final hour tonight. What a great first 2 hours it's been this evening. Art Frith did get Gary Sinise before I did, but I got him last. So I guess that you would consider to be a draw. Anyway, I depart. Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor, what a great couple of guests for our first 2 hours tonight. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about the last 10 years, the political cesspool celebrating 10 years on the air. A week from tonight, we're going to have a great show for you next week. It's going to be a show to remember. I wish you could all be there with us. I got a handwritten letter. I'm holding it in my hand as I speak here on the nationally syndicated airwaves this evening, a handwritten letter in blue ink, no less. Cursive, that's a lost art. They don't even teach cursive in school anymore, do they? This comes from Denise. Now, we love getting all kinds of correspondence, but we really like getting it from our female listeners. This from Denise up in Minnesota, and she addresses it to James Eddie, Keith Winston, and Scoop. Thank you for your honesty, bravery, and the sacrifice you make for the defense of our people. A hearty thank you also to your wives and families who support you. I look forward to the show every Saturday night. As a history buff, I especially enjoy any segment about Southern history and the Civil War. As a Northerner, I've gotten the encapsulated Union version of the Civil War. But I know that history is much more rich with details, and there are many more facets to the story that you just don't get with a cursory view from one side. That said, can you recommend a book or books that have a Southern perspective of the Civil War and Reconstruction? I'd appreciate it very much. Thanks again for all you do. And that comes from Denise in Minnesota. And thank you, Denise, for listening. And yes, I will get back to you personally with a recommendation of books from none other than Sam Dixon, who was our guest last week, who is a noted Southern historian in his own right. And we're going to get you that list of books. And thank you for listening. And thanks to everyone else who listens and has contributed and has participated in the success of the Political Cesspool for the last 10 years. It was 10 years ago this month that I first took a microphone in hand and brought you this program. What a decade it has been. We're going to celebrate all that next week, and we're going to celebrate it in high fashion. Matt the Copperhead is with us, and if we don't have time to exhaust the Copperhead, this segment we'll bring him, we'll let him spill over after the commercial break. Copperhead, thank you for calling in tonight, and thank you, my friend, as we begin this celebration in earnest and as we begin to get a little bit in advance. Thank you for all you've done to ensure the Political Cesspool's longevity for 10 years and beyond. Are you there, Copperhead?
I'm fantastic. We had a smashing day in Manhattan and New York City when the CFCC Tri-State and American Freedom Party came together for Red October, for an event to raise awareness for the white genocide that's going on in South Africa for our white brothers and sisters down there. And it was a fantastic day. We had a great turnout. A lot of positive feedback from even Manhattanites, liberal, hipster types, positive feedback all around. We were right at the UN, and we did a pilgrimage over to the consulate of South Africa for a photo op, and then we shot out to Greenpoint, Brooklyn for some lunch, fellowship, and further picketing, and a huge response with the good people. The Polish community and other whites in Greenpoint. It was a phenomenal day.
So you're telling us here live on the air tonight that you participated in a gathering of people concerned with the interests of the white people in South Africa who are being butchered and slaughtered and truly victims of racial genocide. You know, we have this imaginary racial oppression here in America, where blacks who are entitled to preferential treatment and special treatment in terms of affirmative action, set-asides, and quotas, these people, they claim, are victims of oppression here. We know that's utter nonsense and foolishness, but there are groups of people around the world who are truly victims of racial oppression and indeed brutality. The whites in South Africa, certainly at the top of that list, and you're telling me there was a gathering in their defense in New York City, of all places, today?
Correct. I reached out to some of our fellow members in the Council of Conservative Citizens in the Tri-State, New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, and boy, did they show up and present a true force for the truth in Manhattan, along with good people of the American Freedom Party, and we had a fantastic day, and we got the word out for what's going on through our brothers and sisters, and felt had great.
We got to take a break. Copperhead, we got to take a break. Thank you for the encouraging update, my friend.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center. Where heritage and responsibility instill character. Where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Seems this world got you down. You're feeling bad vibrational ground. We're open your eyes, girl. Look at me.
Look at
I'm gonna
me.
Show you how it ought to be.
Ought to be.
We're gonna have a good thing. Such a good thing, baby. And when your world don't seem just right, and life's getting you uptight, you can change that wrong to right.
Wrong
Cause
to
I was
right.
Right, everybody. That's Paul Revere and the Raiders. Paul Revere went on to receive his eternal reward last Saturday night. I just found out about it, and I should know about this, the oldies aficionado that I am. I should know about this, but I had to find out about it, but glad to find out about it from our former producer, Art Frith, whose voice you still hear on every single political cesspool bump in the broadcast each and every week. Art Frith, who has left his impression on this show very much so. It was Art Frith who impressed upon me the need to be professional in radio. And I think if you were able to listen to the first few episodes of the Political Cesspool back in October of 2004, I mean, certainly you would have found a very sincere and heartfelt and well-intentioned James Edwards, but certainly not, dare I say, the polished individual and radio veteran that you find today. And Art had worked in radio for a long, long time. Art, like many of our hosts and people on the staff, had served in the American Armed Forces. Art was in the United States Navy and worked in the radio for the United States Armed Forces. And you can find his bio at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But he was very much a radio professional for many, many years before I was ever even born. And when our paths crossed and he was hired to be the engineer at WLRM Radio in the early goings of the Political Cesspool's ascendancy, Art took me under his wing and gave me some fatherly admonishment, I guess you will. And anyway, left a lasting impact on this show. We love Art Frith. We're thankful for the role he's played, and we're very reflective of all things to do with our development in this, the month of our 10-year anniversary. The Political Cesspool now one decade old and going and growing strong as we continue to tackle these topics from a perspective that the establishment would never dare. Ebola has hit Texas, as we all know, and it is very rare that a tragedy so encompasses our concerns in tangible form. But the day has come during which a black Liberian immigrant has brought to the United States its first case of the Ebola virus. And that person diagnosed with Ebola has since passed away. But it was known, and that's a sad thing. It's a shame. I mean, certainly we wish that he had never come here, but more importantly, had never been afflicted with the Ebola virus to begin with. But it was known that this man had come from Liberia and that the hospital ignored this very important fact, presumably because they didn't want to be thought of as racist, so they dismissed him originally, even though he showed all the symptoms. And then, of course, later he came back and was diagnosed with Ebola. But as Richard Spencer, our guest in the first hour, demonstrates, if a nation is serious about deporting someone, they can do it. Richard Spencer deported from Hungary for no other reason than daring to think freely. And so certainly people coming from Ebola-stricken nations should be screened a little bit more intensively than they have been. I know that they've opened up screenings at Kennedy Airport in I believe it's New York. That's not enough. Is this something that we really want here in America? I mean, I know diversity is our greatest strength and everything, but can we do without the diversity of Ebola? My hands up, yes. Of course, diversity is not a strength, it's a curse. I mean, nations can survive atomic bombings, as we saw in Japan in World War II, and certainly in Dresden, Germany. But they can't survive diversity. St. Louis, though, as we saw in St. Louis this week, St. Louis Cardinals fans, they're in the playoffs, in the Major League Baseball playoffs. There was a group of protesters urging for quote-unquote justice for Michael Brown. Michael Brown, as we all remember, is the 6'4", 250-pound thug who charged at a policeman, broke his orbital socket before he was shot dead in self-defense by that officer. Of course, the officer should have allowed himself to be killed by this degenerate, because to do anything less is to be a racist, and certainly that is a fate far worse than death in Barack Obama's America. But the police officer did defend himself, and perhaps is wishing he had allowed himself to be killed, because he wouldn't have to suffer this fate of having that scarlet letter R emblazoned upon his heart. But here's the story, most recently out of St. Louis. Racial tension spilled over from Ferguson, Missouri, into nearby St. Louis on Monday night, where a handful of protesters urging for so-called justice for Michael Brown were met by mostly white Cardinals fans who taunted them with chants about poverty, Africa, and in support of the white officer who killed the unarmed black teen. And this is, of course, I'm reading from, let me see who I'm reading from. That is from the New York Daily News, no less. Unarmed black teen. Yes, that is true. But is it impossible for an unarmed teen to commit a crime? If an unarmed teen who is 6'4", 250 pounds, if he charges you and begins to bash your skull in, is he not committing a crime? I mean, obviously, this is so ludicrous that it it shouldn't even need to be mentioned, but yes, he was unarmed. Yes, he was black. Yes, he was a teen. And yes, he was committing a crime. And that is the part that is always left without mention. And so the officer very rightly and very justifiably shot him to protect himself. And hopefully this officer is cleared by the grand jury, who is convening, I guess, as we speak, and I guess is convening until Christ's second coming. I don't know why it has taken them so long to render an opinion on this issue. Nevertheless, these malcontents who are in the camp of the unarmed black teen degenerate criminal Michael Brown gathered together outside of the playoff game that the St. Louis Cardinals were engaged in. And it was encouraging to see, in a rare manifestation of courage and common sense, white people actually came together and kind of shouted them down. I'm glad to see that. At the 22-second mark, we actually have this video at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can look at this video yourself. Cardinals fans, predominantly white, mind you, begin drowning out the protesters with chants of "Let's go, Darren," in defense of the police officer, Darren Wilson. There are another very petite and attractive blonde woman who says that they gave them all the rights that they have, which Pat Buchanan mentions. We've heard the grievances. Where's the gratitude? And we're going to hear from Pat Buchanan, not on this show tonight, as we have in the past, but from his column right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American-first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one-world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Oh, my favorite song from the Paul Revere and the Raiders album. That's Kicks, one of the very rare songs in the late 60s that encouraged you not to take drugs. That was written by Barry Mann, famous of Who Put the Bomp in the Bomp-a-Bomp-a-Bomp. You know that doo-wop song, right, everybody? Well, Kicks... probably the most iconic Paul Revere's in the Raiders song. And we continue to honor Paul Revere, who went on to his eternal reward last Saturday night. I was made note of that fact by Art Frith, who met with Paul Revere on numerous occasions, backstage, no less. Yes, when you're a member of the political cesspool family, doors just open to you. Anyway, I've got a picture here of Paul Revere in full revolutionary regalia, playing the piano live in concert, personalized to me, given to me by Art Frith. Paul Revere, as I've said once, as I've said twice, rock in peace. Great song. Anyway, I'm very nostalgic tonight, thinking about the chief, the Navy chief, Art Frith. Thinking about all of the twists and turns that have been on this long and winding road that has been the political cesspool's odyssey from the day we first took microphone in hand till this very evening. 10 years have passed. So much has happened. So many guests. So many memories. There's a book in there somewhere. My memoirs. You know, I wrote one book, Racism Schmacism, which was, of course, to defuse this socio-political nuclear bomb that is the R-word that is hurled out at anyone that has a dissenting opinion, anyone who's to the right of Joseph Stalin is a racist, as we all know. If you're white and you don't utterly hate yourself, you're a racist. If you're white and you do hate yourself and you run into a black that doesn't know any better, you're still a racist. And so I wrote the book. I'm going to write my memoirs one day, ladies and gentlemen. And believe me, I've got stories that I've never shared, never dared to share on the air. I've lived the life. You know, I'm not a Rush Limbaugh. You know, I don't have any illusions of grandeur. But we are a top 10 rated show. And thank you again for putting me in the top 10 tonight online. The Political Cesspool is a top 10 rated show as we speak. Not counting those tuned in on the terrestrial stations, the AM, FM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network. Yes, it's been a wonderfully turbulent 10 years, but it's been a joy, it's been an honor, and it's been a lot of fun. Have we suffered a few scars? Absolutely. But do I regret anything? No. And in fact, I savor it all quite richly. And we're going to be talking about that all in depth next week. Next week on the live broadcast of the Political Cesspool, we are going to be reminiscing. We're going to take a walk down memory lane and talk about 10 years on the radio. And if there's ever a show that you can't afford to miss, if there's ever a show you need to be sure to make plans to tune into live, it's next Saturday night, October the 18th. Tune into the Political Cesspool. I promise you, I promise you a program to remember. But before I get to my next topic, and thank you for indulging me, everybody, we're going to reconnect the dots between the issue in St. Louis with the Cardinals fans and the so-called protesters of the death of thug Michael Brown. We're going to get Pat Buchanan's take on that. But first, let's go to David in Wisconsin. David, thank you for calling in tonight.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say something, if it would be all right, about one of the good Yankees.
There are some, yes, indeed.
Yeah. And this is one of the good ones, and he's one of the men that stood up for preserving all of our essential inherent rights, like the freedom of speech that we're enjoying right now. Tomorrow will be the 44th year of the anniversary of his death, when he was killed in Vietnam fighting against the prevailing evil of the day at that time, known as communism. And as a result of that, I'd just like to encourage the audience, the listening audience, to look at W. Cleon Skousen's 45 different items that he identified as the essential communist agenda, the 45 items that he... And he was a law enforcement officer with the FBI and the Salt Lake City, Utah Police Department. So he knew what he was talking about when he identified those terrible things that were that were the agenda against American freedom and Christianity.
Another forgotten hero, one whose legacy will live on tonight. And thank you for calling in and breathing life into his name.
Stephen DeLong.
Gerald Stephen DeLong, thank you very much from Wisconsin for bringing that to the table tonight, and we're glad to give you the time to do so. And thank you for being a listener of the Political Cesspool.
Always. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Bye. Well, as we mentioned, you know, 10 years, we've had more memories than we could possibly share, more noteworthy guests than we can possibly recount. Pat Buchanan, though, one of those who, for me, you know, certainly always rings a bell, because I got my start in political activism working with Pat in his campaign for the presidency in 2000. I was too young in 1996 at 16 years old. I couldn't even vote when he had a very fighting chance to win the Republican nomination for president, and in fact took a few states from Bob Dole in that campaign. But I was certainly old enough in 2000 to join the bandwagon and work with Pat, and had some good memories with Pat in 2000. And since then, he has been on this, I guess, on this show numerous times. But he writes about Barack Obama's role as an outside agitator in the situation in Missouri dealing with the death of Michael Brown. And this is what Buchanan has to say. In his UN address, President Obama listed a parade of horrors afflicting our world. Russian aggression in Europe, quote unquote. Terrorism in Syria and Iraq. Rapes and beheadings by ISIL, Al-Qaeda, and Boko Haram. And, of course, the Ferguson Police Department. That's right. The president could not speak of war, terrorism, and genocide without dragging in the incident in a St. Louis suburb where a white cop shot and killed a black teenager. This is what Obama had to say, Buchanan writes. Quote, in a summer marked by instability in the Middle East and Eastern Europe, the world also took note of a small American city of Ferguson, Missouri, where a young man was killed and the community was divided. End quote. What, other than its racial aspect, Buchanan writes, can explain why Obama is so hung up on Ferguson? At the Congressional Black Caucus dinner Saturday, is there a Congressional White Caucus, ladies and gentlemen? Let me just ask you that rhetorically. At the Congressional Black Caucus dinner Saturday, he was back stoking the embers. Quote, Obama, too many young men of color feel targeted by law enforcement, guilty of walking while black or driving while black, judged by stereotypes that fuel fear and resentment and hopelessness, end quote. Buchanan continues, Obama is here implying that Michael Brown was profiled, judged, quote, guilty while walking while black, end quote, when shot and killed. but that is false, and Barack Obama knows it is false, Pat Buchanan says. Brown had just knocked over a convenience store after collaring the clerk and was walking in the middle of the main street in Ferguson, blocking traffic, when another officer, Darren Wilson, confronted him. Did Wilson shoot Black in a racist rage? Or did Wilson face battered and eye socket smashed in a fight with the 290-pound, I said he was 250 pounds, excuse me, 290-pound, 6'4" Brown empty his gun in self-defense? The answer, Buchanan writes, is we don't know. And neither does Barack Obama. So then why is he parroting a pottery line about America that he knows is more myth than truth? White cops are not the great lurking danger, nor the leading cause of violent death of Black teenagers and men. That role is fulfilled by other Black teenagers and Black men, and the statistics on the ugliest forms of racial violence in America reveal that such crimes are overwhelmingly Black on white.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of a riveting 3 hours of live political cesspool radio this evening. Before we get to Peter Scoop Stanton, who so graciously agreed to be bumped to the last segment of tonight's broadcast so we can make room for Richard Spencer and Jared Taylor, respectively, in the first 2 hours, We were talking about Pat Buchanan's take on Ferguson. There is already a new Michael Brown, and that would be a new, in all honesty, black thug who has been romanticized by the chronic black malcontents who have this fetish-like obsession with being oppressed that they can't be overcome by the facts. But his name is Vonderrit Myers. That's V-O-N-D-E-R-I-T-T, Vonderrit Myers. And let me tell you a little bit about Vonderrit Myers. Vonderrit was engaging in an armed burglary at the time he was detected by police there in Missouri. This also happened in Missouri. And Vonderrit didn't like the fact that he was caught by police while he was attempting an armed burglary, so he fired a volley of shots at them. He was then, of course, returned with fire and shot dead. And he is the new Michael Brown. Obviously, he was killed for no other reason than he's black. It didn't matter that he was committing an armed burglary at the point of his shooting. It didn't matter that he had fired at cops first. What mattered was that he was killed while being black. And what's happening here? So what's happening is that the black undertow in Missouri is screaming, hands up, don't shoot, no justice, no peace. What's so ironic is that in defense of Michael Brown and now Vonderrit Myers, they are burning American flags. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. They are burning the flag of Barack Obama's government, the government that is giving them everything, the media that is giving them everything, the media that coddles them, that pretends as though they are oppressed, despite the fact that they are granted preferential treatment. We believe in special privileges for none, not whites, not blacks. Let everyone be judged upon the content of their character, by the merit of their intelligence and accomplishments. But no, that's not the way it is. Blacks believe that they should be given preferential treatment because they suffered as everyone has in the past under slavery. And so they're burning the American flag that has given them affirmative action and quotas and set-asides and all of these preferential treatments. They are burning the American flag, the flag of Obama, the flag of their government. They are burning because yet another petty thug, yet another petty criminal, Vonderrit Myers, was shot after having shot at police first. So this just goes to show, once again, ladies and gentlemen, there is no currying favor with these chronic malcontents. There is no reasoning with them. They cannot be reasoned with. They are sick. There is something wrong in the thinking of these people who believe that they are oppressed. This man deserved to be shot. This man deserved to die. I believe that he was committing an armed burglary. If what I'm reading is correct, he was committing an armed burglary. He shot at police. Yes, if you shoot at police, you have to put yourself in the neighborhood of being shot back at. And so he was. He's not a martyr. He's not a victim of racial oppression. He's just a thug, and that's all he is. And you can't. And they're burning the flag of the America that has totally dispossessed the founding stock, totally dispossessed the people who created this country.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It's once again Peter Scoop Stanton. Mr. Edwards had to attend to his personal needs. As usual, I don't know what the first 3 hours went on, but it was probably pretty good. But yours truly is going to talk about the Ebola virus. And let's break it down to simple terms. First, what is a virus? It's simply a parasite that live and multiply in the cells of their hosts. What's the Ebola virus? A deadly virus that caused bleeding inside and outside the body, transmitted via body secretions to open skin or mucous membranes. Now let's talk about patient X, Thomas Eric Dyson, a person from Liberia, Africa, and Ebola carrier that traveled from Liberia to Brussels to Dulles International Airport here in D.C. to a final destination, Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. let's pray to God that Mr. Duncan didn't cough at anybody in the immediate vicinity, didn't sneeze at anybody in the immediate vicinity, and let's hope those people, if God forbid he did, let's hope those people didn't have any open wounds, or we're looking at a epidemic. Now, what are we doing about it? Well, we're sending thousands of U.S. troops to Africa to fight this disease. Unfortunately, there's no cure. You can't use antibiotics, and there's just no cure for it. Meanwhile, the border is wide open. Meanwhile, down at the border, there's a mysterious illness, which has a letter and a name, or correction, letter and some numbers, that is being carried primarily people from south of the border. And what's happening now that school's open, now that children that live south of the border are contracting this disease. And, of course, our border remains wide open. We talked about this before, and we'll talk about it again. And this is a see, I told you so moment. And, as usual, our government is doing nothing about it. But if we talk about it, then Lois Lunar and her goons will come after us and check it via the IRS. Back to you in the studio, if anybody's there.
We are here, scooping up. I appreciate you treading water for us. You know, no 3-hour live broadcast of the political cesspool is complete until we run into a little bit of technical difficulties here, almost inevitably on our end here at Flagship Station here in Memphis. But it just, as we always say, goes to prove our authenticity that we are live, unearthed, uncensored. And thank God that you were on the air live when that little hiccup manifested itself because you were able to tread the water until I got back. And now here I am, albeit in a slightly less robust capacity. But, you know, right. I know, Scoop, I want to bring this up very quickly. I know that you had the opportunity to join Richard Spencer and myself there at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. back in 2011 for the National Policy Institute's conference. I was a speaker there. You were there. I remember walking the halls of the National Press Club with you. Do you wish you could have been in Budapest? We'll come full circle in this program tonight and go all the way back to the conversation about Budapest. You want to be there?
Yeah, I would have been there. I would like to be there. And then, just like everybody else, I said, all right, let's lock me up. I did see the video of the incident in the restaurant. As usual, the people there for the MPI conference were well-behaved, well-dressed, unlike yours truly. And I noticed the police, they look like Nazi brown shirts. And I'm thinking, Rich Spencer and Jerry Taylor's the problem? Look at the uniform of these people. What are they doing? Assembling peacefully. About what? About the dangers of that Europe is facing with replacing the founding stock with absolute third world garbage. Yours truly was over there in Europe for 3 years, reporting week after week about the constant onslaught of immigration coming from North Africa, the Middle East, and other places, and it's causing nothing but havoc. These people are using the welfare system. They're using the socialized medicine system, which is going broke, and speaking their own language and not adapting to customs and norms. And that's why you had movies like made in France called District 13, where crime was such a problem in Paris that the police just made a big wall around it. That's because you can thank all the people from the Middle East, North Africa, that contributed absolutely nothing to French society. And now people in France want to move away because they're overtaxed. It's not the France that they grew up with, and that's not the France that we know. Just like here in the U.S. This is not the U.S. that, you know, I remember, I know, and I love, and I serve. Just look at Missouri. You know, Missouri's a battleground. Forget Detroit. It's now St. Louis.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know what else to add to that except that obviously you're correct, and I know you would have been there if you could have. Certainly you have been there here in the United States. And one of the reasons that the NPI and other conferences like it have been forced to move to government sanctioned venues like the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington was because they're being forced out like no other group would have been had it been any other group meeting to celebrate its identity. Well, that's what's happening to our people. We are the dispossessed majority, and we're fighting for our own human rights. And thank you for joining us in that struggle. I'm James Edwards for Scoop Stand, the rest of our staff. Thank you for joining us this evening. We'll be back with you next week with a very special installment of the Political Cesspool Radio program. Good night, everybody.